Greetings, everyone. All those who are here, just want to say thank you for being here. Praise God. All those who are online, I just want to say thank you for being with us. And before we go any further, let's just go ahead and pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now for what you're doing today in the hearts and lives and minds and the people's lives all over the world today, Lord God, not only here, but all over the world. All those that are online, oh God, I praise your holy name. Because, Lord God, you are to be sanctified and honored in our hearts, through our words, through our deeds, O Lord, as we live this life, that we would give you all the praise and all the glory as well. Lord God, and how that we would converse with people, how that we would witness, how that we would live. O Lord God, help us to watch the way we live, to watch the way we talk, to watch, O Lord God, how that we think. The thoughts of our hearts, the intents of our hearts, the words that we say, Lord God, the things that we do, for they are well being watched by the world. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us lead, guide, and direct, that you, O Lord God, would be in charge of the service today. You would help us, O Lord, to be convinced and convicted of, O Lord God, those things, those areas in our lives that you want us to change, to come up a little higher. Lord, I praise your holy name now. For Lord, we are all in here in the same boat together, seeking, O Lord God, that we would all help each other to get to heaven. You would help us along the way. We would help each other to encourage, strengthen, edify, comfort, exhort. O Lord God, be here with us today. Let the anointing of your word and the Spirit be here and among all those that are online as well, Lord. Our dear brothers and sisters all over the world, we thank you today in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, well, perhaps we can go ahead and open our course book. Just want to also keep in mind and ask that you could keep our friend Doug in prayer. He called me this morning and apologized he couldn't make it to church, and he's having car issues, and so that he wants prayer that that those issues will be fixed in due time, and that we would pray for him. So we'll keep him in prayer, and his car issues will be taken care of, and he can make it to church. He was very apologetic over the phone, and so just keep him in prayer, if you will. And we'll be praying for his vehicle, and certainly we will. But if we could go ahead now, and there's a few songs that I've been kind of thinking about, and one of them is called The Windows of Heaven. If we could go there, number 15 in the chorus book, The Windows of Heaven. And it's been a long time since we've sung that song. As a matter of fact, there's a few songs that I want to go to today that we haven't sung in probably a couple of years. And I have to apologize to people here for kind of losing sight of some of that music. And being a worship leader, I take responsibility for that, and would like to do more to improve in that area. So why don't we go ahead and sing that?
The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Now I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy. happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm fasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God in heaven. The power of the Lord's word. Oh, praise God. He's mighty to pulling down of strongholds. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
He can pull down any stronghold in any person's life. He can help us to walk higher, to live stronger for him. I give him all the glory for that. Praise God. I just had to say that because that's been in me all morning long. Praise God. There's another song I'm hoping that we can go to now. And it's called I See the Lord, number 79 in the chorus book. Let's just go there and sing that. His train fills the temple, amen. His train fills the temple, but sure enough, His Spirit should fill our temple. Amen.
Praise the Lord, amen.
His Spirit should fill ours.
I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And His angels cry holy, and the angels cry holy, and the angels cry holy to the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. High and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And the angels cry holy, and the angels cry holy, and the angels cry holy to the Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. The angels cry holy. Shouldn't we do the same?
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
We should live a life of holiness too.
Praise
a life that is above and beyond reproach, so that we can be a witness to people wherever we go. Amen. A witness, a light, so that we could be a man and a woman that could have a good conscience before God and men. That we wouldn't have to worry about, I did that, is anyone going to find out? We don't have to walk that way. We can walk in the light. We can have the strength of confidence, the strength of that godly faith. Amen. God wants us to walk in holiness, in purity of heart, mind, and thought, and words. Amen? He wants us to be above reproach. He wants us to give Him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor with a clean heart, with a sanctified heart. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
A heart that is above reproach, unrebukable, as it says in the Word of God. So, let's go to 93 and sing that song, I'm Not Sorry, for I answered the Master's call. Amen.
I'm not sorry.
Jesus took my heavy load, and now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry, I've answered the Master's call. Jesus took the heavy load, and now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry at all.
One more time.
I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I've answered the Master's call. Jesus took my heavy load, and I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry at all.
Thank you, Lord God in heaven. What do we go to now? To number 92, right above that. Every promise, every chapter, every line, every verse. Oh, thank you, Lord. We can trust in a God who is able to perform all his works. He's able to perform and to give and to keep all those precious promises found written in his word. And we can call them ours if we truly live the life. Not in word only, but in everything that we do. Not in just saying things, but what we do. That is the big difference between those who are pretenders and those who are real. It's in the things that we do. Amen? Let's go there. Number 92.
Is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
One more time, if you will.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Isn't that a comforting thought? Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise. Oh, praise God in heaven.
Praise you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And there's another song that we could go to, I'm hoping. 103, Friendship with Jesus. A small chorus, but it's called Friendship with Jesus. 103.
Fellowship divine. Communion, Jesus is a friend of mine. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what a blessed sweet communion, Jesus is a friend of mine. Friendship with fellowship divine. Oh, what a blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine.
You know, you can truly say that Jesus is a friend of mine and yours when? When you walk in obedience. When you walk in faith and obedience, Jesus is a friend of mine.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God for that. Another song way back here I want to go to. Where is that? Shut In With God, number 125. 125 in the chorus book. You know, King David, when he was on the hillsides of Bethlehem watching over the sheep, it was not a peaceful place necessarily. It was a hard task. But yet, he found moments where he was shut in with God, where all he could do was praise God for the firmament of the heavens. Looking into the skies, no doubt, he had his instruments of praise with him. He had much time to contemplate and practice, amen. But he got into that place where he was shut in with God, that secret place. And I believe we can do the same. If we would just not get so busy with our lives and fight for that time with God. I say that because it can be evidenced in our lives, in the way that we think and talk and the things that we do and say. The things that we think about in our hearts, our minds, will come out of our mouth. If we contemplate and meditate upon the things of God, and you truly are being transformed by the renewing of the Word of God, that's going to show. It's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to be in your heart. It's going to show in your life. It'll be the dictate of your heart. It'll be something that you would want to do, desire to do. When you find that place shut in with God, let's go there.
Shut in. Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. I long to be shut in with God.
One more time.
Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. I long to be shut in with God.
Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Shut in with God. Amen. Praise God.
Praise you, Jesus.
I wonder if anybody has a testimony or a word or anything that they would care to share. Please feel free to raise your hand. Amen. Anything at all. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And if I could have Rob, would you be ever so gracious to do that for me? And if anybody has anything like I say, a testimony of any kind, a praise report, a prayer request, perhaps. Anything. Feel free. Brother?
I guess I can ask for prayer for my younger brother.
Okay.
He's like disabled. He has, they say he has schizophrenia.
He's what now?
Schizophrenic.
Okay.
He's really incapacitated, so people could pray for him.
What's his name?
I saw him yesterday.
Hmm?
Kurt.
Kurt?
Yeah.
Okay. How old is he? 47?
Yeah.
Is he married? Married?
No.
Single?
No.
Okay.
He's been on these psychiatric drugs for many, many years. So
okay.
He's in a bad condition.
Okay.
Yeah, he smoked cigarettes too. It was interesting, you know. We were here about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to the prayer meeting before the service. And we prayed for him and to stop. And he actually quit smoking for several months after that, which was amazing. And I think the prayer helped, you know. But, you know, he did start back smoking again. But, I mean, that was pretty amazing right then at that time, too.
Well, prayer changes things.
Amen, I know.
Amen. And we will pray. So let's come together for all those who are online who perhaps didn't hear that, and no doubt many probably didn't. I want to say that we have a dear brother here, his wife, all the way from California, Bill and Sue, come all the way from California here now and are seeking to get involved more with the church and be more faithful and to be a part of what's going on. And I praise God for that. And the Lord's doing a work in their life. But I would like to say that too, now the prayer request that he gave is that you would agree with us in prayer, all those who are online, those that are here. He has a brother, 47 years old, who is schizophrenic, and he needs help, deliverance. He needs a touch from God, amen? The Lord will do a work in his life, miracles. So, why don't we get together here now and come in agreement in one accord now, under the blood, in Jesus' name. And we'll pray against that thing. Whatever it is, for sure it's a stronghold. Let's just come against that. Amen? Okay. Heavenly Father, right now we come to you, Lord, now in Jesus' name under the blood, in agreement and one accord, by faith. Collectively, we come together, Lord God, and we come against that spirit right now, that stronghold, that infirmity. We come against it right now in Jesus' name under the blood. We demand and we require that spirit to keep his mouth shut, to be put down, to be put to flight. Right now we command that spirit in Jesus' name under the blood to go. In Jesus' name under the blood, that spirit can no longer harm or hurt his brother. His brother named Kurt, O Lord God, that you would do a great miracle, I pray now. Do a work. Do a miracle in his life. Lord God, deliver him, set him free under the blood in Jesus' name. We come against that right now in Jesus' name now. And we ask you, Lord, that you would just do some kind of a miracle even now as we speak, even now as we pray. Even now, Lord God, by faith in Jesus' name as we come together in agreement and one accord now. Let that thing be bound and rebuked in Jesus' name. Bound and rebuked. Put down. Put to flight. And I pray, Lord God, that you do this thing on his behalf. We pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Let it not bother him anymore, Lord God. Let it not come back. I pray, Lord God, that you can do all things. We know that, Lord God, you are on the throne of heaven. And to God be the glory, Lord God. You can do all things right, good, and well. Nothing's too hard for thee, Lord God. You are mighty to save and mighty to deliver. Able to do all things. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. We also pray now, Lord God, in agreement and one accord, for Doug's vehicles, Lord God, also, that you would help him, Lord, to have those vehicles fixed and taken care of, that he could be able to come to church more often. We give you all the praise and glory for that, Lord. We thank you for helping him, for helping Kurt, and all those who are under the spirit of infirmity and bondage of some kind and some sort, that every stronghold would be taken down, every devil put to flight, Lord God, now that the mighty, powerful word of God would go forth today into the hearts and lives and minds, O Lord God, and it would prevail. The devil would be defeated, I pray, Lord God, now, that your word would prevail over sin, death, and hell. I pray, Lord, that your word would go forth, that your anointed would go forth, I pray now. Your spirit would be glorified, honored, respected. This we pray in Jesus' name under the blood. And now, Lord, I pray for these tithes, gifts, and offerings, that you would continue to help us to be good stewards of thy monies, O Lord God, the gifts, offerings, tithes, to be used only for your glory, for your purpose. Pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Lord. Praise God.
Well, we're going to wait for the signal from Sam and get the green light going. Okay, brother. Thank you. Okay, this is in obedience, part 4 of the message. And I want to begin by going... the Lord just spoke to me. Go to 1 John 5:4. We're going to change it up a little bit. 1 John 5:4. And I want to read there. In 1 John 5:4, actually, let's go to verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. What is that? Keeping his commandments is obedience, is it not? And his commandments are not grievous. No, they're not. In fact, his commandments to those that love God are joy, peace, love. Amen? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? How many people go through life today not believing the words of God? That are walking in unbelief, that don't even believe there is a God. But they watch your life, don't they? They'll observe you. They may not believe the God of heaven. They may think that the Bible is full of fables and fantasies. But they watch those that profess Jesus. I'm reminded of a story too now. It just comes to mind. Of an old man, this is years ago, who was... one of those people. True story. He was an unbeliever. He owned a horse ranch. He had stables. He had slaves. And he would be found going to the horse races. And along with these races, he would see a minister that he didn't trust, because he saw this minister gambling and going to the races like anybody else would. He observed his life. Well, one day he was on his sickbed. We all come to that point, don't we? We all have a day of reckoning. We come to that place where we meet God, one way or the other. At some point, some form, some fashion, there is a time and a place appointed for each one of us. And as this man was on his deathbed, they had his wife, his sons, his daughters come in weeping, not knowing what to do. And his wife said, "Shouldn't we call for a minister? What about the minister that we know?" And he says, "No, I want nothing to do with him. But there is a stable boy, my slave. I overheard him praying. I've watched his life. Call him. He's consistent. He's real. His faith is real." He prayed for the man, amen? He came in respectfully, took his hat off, went in and humbly prayed for this man. And how many people are out there watching your life? How many people are out there observing the things that you do and say? How many people are watching you? Is our life consistent with the Word of God right here? Are we able to say that I am a Christian? Or are we kidding ourselves? Am I one who might be a pretender? Somebody who would scoff and mock, make fun of, criticize, and then go to church and say, "Oh, blessed be God. Oh, praise the Lord." No. He saw this man's life. He observed his life. It was consistent with the Word of God, you see. That's what God's looking for. And he saw the same thing in King David. When Saul was no longer a man that could be trusted with the Word of God because he wouldn't obey it. Why don't we now turn over to, matter of fact, let's go to, instead of going to 1 Samuel first, let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Ah, here we go. Verse 70. 78, verse 70 to 72. You see, it all began right here for King David. It all began here. And it says, "He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds." You see, when was David called? When he was minding the sheep. When he was faithfully tending, he was called. "From following the ewes, great with young, and brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance." So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. We all and give out for the gifts, the talents that he's giving us. Amen? Every one of us. I just want to leave that thought in your mind as we go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 now. You see, as we go into verse 1, I want people to remember something here. God's work does not die because a man or a woman dies. He doesn't allow that. God's work continues. Amen? God's work will continue and he'll give it to faithful men and women who are prepared. Amen? Let's read here. Because what the Lord is wanting us to do is to move on. We all must move on and do a work for God. Amen? Whether it's all those who are perhaps online, that people have a ministry wherever you are, witnessing to someone, maybe at work or on your job or wherever you find yourself, we are to walk in obedience to the Word of God. And it says here in verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 16, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Exodus talks a little bit about that. In Exodus 14:15, if you want to briefly go there with me, just to read one verse, 14:15. It says in verse 15, what had happened? "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." That they go forward. I could get into this story with Exodus, but that would take away from my time that I need to get into 1 Samuel 16. I'm not going to get into all the details here, but they were trapped, but the Lord would have them go forward and trust God. Amen? Through faith. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 16 now. I wanted to preface that because the importance of the words of God, the importance of what he wants us to do is to go forward, believing, by faith. It's time to move forward in your life and in my life. Isn't that right? Every one of us. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord." Oh, that peace offering. You know, a peace offering usually and typically is one that is, when you do a peace offering, it is a ceremonial meal. It is something that you can partake. Whereas a sacrifice is something that is burnt on the altar, is woolly burnt. You don't partake of it. But a peace offering, considered a ceremonial, is something that you are able to partake in the Old Testament. Which is, to me, very interesting in how that was brought about here from the Lord giving to Samuel, how that he would do this, and David perhaps wouldn't even know what was happening, and neither would Samuel. But God would take this time to anoint King David One way or the other, it was going to happen. And in verse 3, it says, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." In other words, oftentimes the people of God, his servants, are hidden until that moment comes. A lot of God's people, most people that will truly serve God, are hidden away until that moment comes when the Lord wants to show his time has come to begin to do a work for him. Amen? And it goes on to say now in verse 4, did you know that Jesse was the grandson of Boaz and Ruth? I found that interesting. And then David, who would come in that princely line, that tribe of Judah. But he was the least of the least, though. He was the very least. The eighth son of Jesse. One that was overlooked, who they completely ignored, and they didn't even invite to the feast, to the sacrifice. They were so sure that it would have been the first seven sons. They looked handsome, they looked the part, but they didn't have a heart to serve God. They looked the part, but they didn't have it right here. That's where it counted. But you see, God's people who go through tough times in life are being prepared. Who go through trials, tests, tribulation, who are often criticized and looked upon and despised by others, are the very ones that God uses. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming. Why? Why did they tremble? And said, "Comest thou peaceably?" Because they remembered what Samuel did to Agag, who cut him to pieces. You know, the Lord wants to put more steel in your sword. The Lord wants to put steel in your sword. Backbone. He wants more grit in you. Faith. He wants you to be together with God, with himself, with the Lord. Of one mind, one heart, one spirit. Did you know that that's the same thing with the body of Christ? For a house divided against itself cannot stand. Did you know that? Goes on to say, "And he said, Peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves." Oh, the word sanctify comes to mind. "And come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Sanctify. What does that mean? Sanctify means to be set apart wholly for God and for his service. Sanctify. To set apart. You know, many people in this life, they think they're sanctified. They walk around and they think they're a Christian. They might even come as close as to saying that I believe in God. I come to church. I pray. but they're not converted. Because all along, the thing that's in their heart tells on them. What's in their heart shows so clearly, so plain. It's almost pathetic. It's so plain that, you see, like I say, people observe. People know. People watch, they can see. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And it came to pass, when they were come, and he looked on Elijah, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Oh, but no, a thousand times no. Because God has rejected the flesh. God's rejected the flesh of man. What was God looking for? A man after his own heart. God was going to say, no, I had no more, I want no more to do with the dictates of what man decides. You see, what happened is the people decided they wanted a king, and they chose Saul. They wanted a man who was tall and handsome. But you see, God gave them what they wanted. And he duly failed. Miserably. The same thing happens today. People call and cry for a certain someone or person. Instead of allowing God to do a work in their lives. But sometimes the Lord will give them what they want. I need not say more, but I just say this, the flesh is rejected. In verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. You know, the outward appearance can take on many forms, can it? It can take on the form of the flesh in many ways. It can take on the form of what people want to hear, what people want to see. They don't want to agree with someone who comes against sin and idolatry. So they're going to clamor after their own king. They're going to want what they want, and that's it. Nobody else will do. But the Lord God says that's of the flesh. And that's rejected. You pretty much know what's not anointed and what's not and what's rejected when it comes from that kind of source. When it comes from that source of man who clamor after something with the wrong heart, with the wrong spirit. But the Lord looketh what? On the heart. God sees everything, doesn't he? God has everything under his eyes. He knows and sees the heart of every man and woman.
That's right.
Nothing's hidden. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. What is God looking for? The heart of a king. And said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shemaiah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. Samuel must have been completely bewildered. Lord God, you called me here to call a feast, to sanctify the sons of Jesse, to set them apart, and you have not chosen any one of these. Lord, what is going on? What am I to do? No doubt Samuel must have been, he had lessons to learn too, because see, Samuel truly thought that one of these sons would have surely fit the mold. All the while, there's King David, forgotten and despised, even hated by many, watching over the sheep in the fields, delivering the sheep from wolves, lions, foxes, being faithful, being shaped and molded by the heart and the hand of God. All forgotten and despised and hated by many. And in verse 11 it says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are there all thy children?" It's a good thing he asked. And he said, "Oh, well, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." In other words, that was of no significance. Why even ask a question? Jesus must be 11 years old, 12 years old. You know, what is he to do with this? But look at the answer. "And keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Saul, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." You know, the things that man rejects, God accepts.
Praise the Lord.
Did you know that? If we go to Luke chapter 16, could we go there? I just want to show you a few things. Luke chapter 16. Put that marker back there, my First Samuel there. If we could go now to verse 10, I got a question I want to ask people. Are you in a humble, in a lowly place in your life? Do you feel God is calling you? Do you feel like there are greater things in your life to fulfill? I would think that everyone here would have to say yes. Are you keeping the sheep in your life? Are you being faithful and obedient to what God has called you to do? A searching question, isn't it? Let's go to verse 10 in Luke 16, if you will. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Did you see that? David was in the sheep fields, the hills of Bethlehem, being faithful to the little things that he was called to do. He was despised and rejected of men, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was, because see, David was a type of Christ in the Word of God. "And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. In other words, are you trusted to manage somebody else's gold and silver as an example? Can you be trusted to do that? If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You see, where there's no honesty, there is no grace. No honesty, no grace. You see that? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Even 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 talks about that. We won't go there now for lack of time. I've got a lot of ground I'm trying to cover today. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, because what happens, you see, the affections of many are chained to the earthly and worldly things that keep them bound. Those are strongholds. Their affections are chained down and keeping them bound. And the Lord wants us to be set free from all of that. And the Pharisees, get this now, also were covetous. Covetous for greed and want and desire for fleshly, for the things of this world, the mammon of this world. They were the pickpocketers of that day. Those were the false evangelists of that day. Like Creflo Dollar running through piles of money in the altar. That's what they were. Because they were called a Pharisee. Heard all these things and they derided him. They hated Jesus for that. Because they were guilty in their sin. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Isn't that what happened to Saul? Justified himself before men. He wanted Samuel to physically pray with him before the elders of the people. But he didn't care about what God thought, only what the people thought. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You know, what God calls good, man calls evil. What man calls evil, God calls good. The Bible says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Amen? Okay, let's go back, if you will, now to 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, perhaps, for one or two more verses. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. What does ruddy mean? Ruddy is a sort of a vigorous and healthy youth. It is also noted that he had sort of a reddish complexion. But ruddy. And withal of a beautiful countenance. I want to say something here to that. A beautiful countenance can come by no other means but by time spent with God. David had that time spent with God in the open fields and the hills of Bethlehem. Spending that time in that poetic nature of his, to pray and praise the Lord God Almighty for all the wondrous firmament, the works of his, the Lord's hands, giving him that bravery, that noble heart of his to watch the sheep, to kill the bear, the wolf, and all those predators that would come against the sheep. And goodly to look to. He was good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." This was the moment of truth that came in David's life. When did the Lord call him? When he was busy faithfully carrying out the work of God, obeying his word, watching his life to serve God, to be a real, true man of God. That was when the Lord called him. He wasn't busy faking it till he made it, was he? I heard somebody tell me one time, "I fake it till I make it." It sounded cute, didn't it? Not an ounce of truth to it. Wow. But then it goes on to say in verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil." The horn of oil represents the gifting of the Holy Ghost, the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon someone's life. "And anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." They did the same thing. Moses did the same thing with Joshua in Numbers chapter 7, 27. The book of Numbers. Moses rose up and anointed Joshua the same way. 27:18. If you ever want to look at that one day, a great story. But before we go to verse 14, I want to ask if you could go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what was that public anointing all about? It was the outcome of a private fellowship with God, wasn't it? When you have a private fellowship, when your fellowship with God is real and private, the Lord will go public with you, anoint you in public. What you do in public is the outcome of something that is done in private. What is in private is the outcome of what happens publicly in your life. In verse 23, 1 Corinthians, it says this, "But we preach Christ crucified." Oh, my goodness. Instead of giving, you know, they wanted wisdom and they wanted deliverance. But what happened here? It says here, "Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." What happened? Instead of giving them wisdom and deliverance that the Jews and the Greeks demanded, God sent them a crucified Messiah. Foolishness. Weird to them. This is weird. This is foolishness. "But unto them that are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Messiah meant splendor and power and triumph. But what? Crucified meant humiliation and weakness. But to them that are saved, it is the power of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see our calling, brethren. For ye see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen, as he did with King David, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, or which are mighty, it says here in the King James. Which are mighty. Man looks on the outward appearance, and as he said to Samuel, look not on the outward appearance. I don't see things as man sees. I look on the heart. David didn't have a mighty appearance, but he had a mighty heart towards God. And he was sharpening that sword, that word, in his spirit daily. He had steel in that sword. He had backbone. And the base things of the world and the things which were despised hath God chosen, yea. The things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. I love that. You see in verse 29, because what's going to happen? Man's pride and arrogance will be considered as dung and refuse. It says here in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. No, not by works, lest any man should what? Boast. Ephesians 2, verse 9. If you care to go there one day. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and what? Sanctification and redemption. Who is God to us? He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification and our redemption.
Praise God. Amen.
That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, according to Jeremiah 9:24. Jeremiah 9:24 speaks well of this. Well, praise God. Perhaps in talking about now the heart of King David. Why don't we go to Psalm, I believe it's 19. Let's go to Psalm 19. Yeah, there you go. Here we have King David in the hills of Bethlehem. Time spent with God. Time to take in the splendor and the glory of the heavens, the firmament. What God has done, David is recognizing. David is glorifying God. Who has the heart of God? Oh my. There's a lot to learn in this. It says here in chapter 19, verse 1. I'll get it straight. The heavens declare, and the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You see, among men all over the world, there will be no excuse. God is busy preaching daily with the firmament of the heavens, the glory of what He is preaching every day in the heavens by His glory.
Amen.
You know, Romans talks about that, doesn't it? Romans 1. It talks about how that there will be no excuse. Paul talks about that. The beauty of the Lord. You could go there if you want to. But for lack of time, I think I'll continue on. But in Hebrew, it means like a gushing spring that pours forth sweet, refreshing waters of revelation. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It preaches God's majesty and glory. It's an unbroken chain. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. King David, at that young age, already contemplated that. Already writing that wonderful poem. That vision, that inspiring word that the Lord gave him. He would never know that it would later be a big and huge part of the Bible, the Word of God. He was just walking in obedience. He was just glorifying God. You never know what will happen in your life when you just live for God. Glorify His name and really mean it. What will come of it? God doesn't make any mistakes. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for a son. Now here we have, it's sort of a romantic display of how that the Lord is coming back for His own. But He sets the scene of a wedding, the sky, a tabernacle for the wedding as the Lord comes back to receive the bridegroom, or the bride, rather. It goes on to say here, there is a line that's gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the Son. If you go to Psalm 104, I believe it is, 104:2, if I remember correctly, there's a parallel there. 104, let's just say, go to verse 1. There I just want to read. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters. We'll be getting to that. Deep calleth unto deep. Who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers, a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with a deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Amen. We could go on from there. But let's go back now to Psalm 19. It says in verse 5, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, as we read just now, out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Now what that's talking about too, if you look closely and spiritually at this, You're talking about 2 Timothy 4:8. What happens in the life of a man and woman who live for God? Between being called, as David was, David would have to go through another maybe 20, 25 years of testing before he actually took the crown and took the kingship of the crown. But what's that saying is that in our life, between the time of being called, we have a lifetime of trial and tribulation before we receive our crown. If you go to 2 Timothy 4, it says what? It says here, as it just said in 19, verse or chapter 19, as a strong man that runneth the race. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Faith. What we're talking about is faith and obedience. Henceforth, here is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. James 1:12 talks about that too. But going back to Psalm 19, we can go ahead and read again. Verse 5, which is as the bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. In other words, the Lord is coming back for his people. He'll rejoice in you when you finish the race and you receive the crown of life, when you are found faithful to receive, to run the race, to fight the good fight at the end. It doesn't always matter how you begin, but how you finish. How you finish is what counts. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. In other words, when he comes back with that flaming fire in his eyes, that dross will be burned away. All the dross of sin and deception will be burned away completely. And in your own life too, when he comes in your life, when you are then converted and found to be in that place as David was, he'll make you see yourself in the mirror. He'll help you to see who you are and what you're doing and where you're going and what your life is all about. It'll burn the dross away in your life. All the hiccups, all the blank screens will turn color. Things will make sense in your life a little bit more. Things a little brighter. You'll be able to hear God's voice and discern when you're in the fight. That's why he says, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. It says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Did you see that? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Oh, praise God. Life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 talks about that. I just want to quickly go there too, if you don't mind. Let's just go to verse 3. According to his divine power has given unto us all things, what? That pertaineth unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to his glory and virtue. That's what he's talking about. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't there a little bit of lust out there today going on? Through the TV, through the movie theaters, all that lust, all that filth and garbage, corrupting people's hearts and minds. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Yeah, you need any temperance in your life? You need old knowledge and patience that comes after. And to patience, godliness. Did you see that? And to godliness, brother kindness. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That's talking about love one for another. For if these things be in you, now think about it in terms of your own life. You, just put those fingers, point them at your own heart like this, and apply that to your life. For if these things be in you and abound, they may make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to make you see. You see, when sin has hindered your heart, you become blinded. You can't see aright. You can't see straightly. Things are confused and muddled because you don't have the love of Christ in your heart. For others, for God. It says here, be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Oh my. Well, it goes on to say, in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's discernment. That's faith. That's what Jonathan had when he was eating that honey, as the Lord gave it to him, as he was walking in obedience to God and walking in that faith and trusting God to go kill the Philistines in the garrison. And God gave him that honey. What did he say? Look, this honey has enlightened mine eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. Yes, it is. When you're washed and renewed by the reading of the Word of God. Amen. 119:42 talks about that. 119:142 in Psalms. I quickly want to read that. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Did you see that? A man of God or a woman of God who loves the Lord, the Word of God is pure to them. And when they have a pure heart, they will love the Word of God. As King David, it says here in 141, I am small and despised, Yet do not I forget thy precepts. When you're small in your own eyes, when you were despised by others, it says here in 142, thy righteousness is as everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me, or on me. Yet thy commandments are my delight. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. There is life in that, brothers and sisters. There is life in that. And it goes on in chapter 19:10 here now again. More to be desired are they than gold. Oh, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. In other words, he could not be bribed by mammon, by money. You can't bribe somebody who loves God, who holds God's word with that kind of reverence. You can't bribe somebody who truly loves the Lord. Amen? You can't deceive someone when they have the discernment of God in them. Isn't that true? People can see when God gives them that light. Moreover, of them is thy servant warned in keeping of them their word or their great reward. I want to read that again because it's found in Proverbs 29. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. What is he talking about? Obedience to the word of God. Being faithful and obedient. I'm talking about, also, I'm reminded of a martyr one day. Who, as this martyr was laying on the pile of wood, and the sheriff, who grimaced at the thought of having to start that fire. He was remorseful. He didn't want to do it. He was troubled by it. And he asked with trembling lips, "Will you not renounce Christ? If otherwise, I would have to burn you alive." And he goes, "No, I'm not troubled. I'm not troubled by this trouble." He says, "I'm calm and I'm at peace." What is that reward? That joy and peace. And he says to the sheriff, "Come, put your hand in my heart and see if my heart is not calm." And so the sheriff put his hand on his heart and found that his heart was calm and beating quietly. And he said that you are more troubled than I. Put your hand on your own heart and see if it's not beating wildly. And then he said, "Go your way. Don't pity me, pity yourself." The reward is a requited peace and joy and comfort of spirit. For those who walk in obedience and faith to God. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret sin. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know, did you know that when somebody allows sin in their life, it becomes a habit. It rules a life with the brutal force of a tyrant. Because a tyrant will always have his way. goes on to say in verse 13 here, "Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Amen. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." What does that mean? It means that a heart is surrendered. You surrender your heart, you surrender your thoughts and your mouth to the Lord. It's all surrendered. It's a, "Let my thoughts and the meditation of my heart, O Lord God, be acceptable in thy sight."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I praise God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, where did David get his heart? Where did David get that heart that was after God's own heart? If you go to Acts 4:13, I want to paint a little bit of a picture for you on that. If you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13, what does it say there? "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." In other words, they looked at King David as an unlearned, ignorant, despised, young, no good for nothing other than to watch the sheep in the field. And oftentimes people will look at you that way too. "And they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They spent time with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
"And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying that, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." No one can deny the power of God in your life when you're walking with God. It may not be all evidenced right away, but in time and in due time, yes, things will begin to happen. It's not in God's, it's not on your timing, but God's timing. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 now, if you will, with me. And go to verse 14 as we attempt to finish up the chapter. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And the servants said unto him, 'Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee.'" He no longer had that covering, did he? Why? Because of disobedience. Did you know that when you walk in disobedience, you come out from under the covering of God's protection? Did you know that? It's true. "Let our God," or our Lord, "now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player of an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit that from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Did you know that the worship music of God is meant to minister to people? To minister to people's needs? That's why it's important to spend time in worship and praise. You know, the devil especially hates worship leaders, because the devil himself was a worship leader in heaven, kicked out. He was kicked out of heaven. He failed as a worship leader, the devil did. Because pride lifted him up. It goes on to say in verse 17, "And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring them or him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, a prudent man in prudent matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Godly music is supposed to be used to touch the lives and hearts of people. It's not meant to cause people to become zombie-like and in a stir of confusion and cause trouble. Music can be used for good or evil. But David was blessed as he spent time with God. The Lord blessed his life, gave him gifts of music. He was prudent in matters and a comely person. And the Lord was with him, it says here. "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." Big difference with sheep.
Amen.
Faithful, obedient. "And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul." Well, this was David's coming out to report to duty, basically. "And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer." Now, armor bearers are meant to be uniquely strong. They are typically, an armor bearer is typically one who is always kind of like a caddy for a golfer. Like a quarterback on a football team. I hate to even use sports as a reference anymore, but I used to be heavily into sports, not no more. In any case, an armor bearer is one who usually led by example. And he would encourage his master. He would encourage the king. He would give him insight, wisdom, knowledge. Say, look, I've heard about a spot over there. Set the troops over to the left flank or to the right flank. An armor bearer will carry his armor. An armor bearer is somebody who holds one up, who strengthens somebody, comforts somebody, encourages. And it goes on to say now, "And Saul sent in Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." Did you know that as a worship leader or anyone who worships God, it could be anywhere in the world, not just here, but anywhere, who is truly worshiping God, coming up here is a battleground because you see everything. You see everything. God shows you things. It's a battleground. It's a fight. And you have to fight through many things. Shirley's at the piano. Has to fight through many things. People that truly come to worship, you have to fight through many things to get a hold of God. Why? It's a battle. Before you finally get to that breaking point where you feel that peace and joy, where you feel the Spirit of God moving, because there's a battle at hand. The devil doesn't want you to get to that place of worship and praising God. He wants you down and defeated, subservient to Him, chain bound, where you can't lift your hands, where you can't praise God. That's being chain bound.
That's right.
And it came to pass, and when an evil spirit from God was upon Saul, what happened with that? Saul was so disobedient, the Spirit of God left him. Now he was troubled. But God was so gracious that he sent David. And Saul and David took in heart and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well. And the evil spirit departed from him. Did you know that the anointing breaks the yoke? The anointing of God breaks the yoke of every stronghold in your life.
Thank you.
I want to leave you with that. I hope that that was something people can chew on a little bit and take home with them today. Think about, contemplate, pray about, give over to the Lord. And then come back renewed and refreshed. Again, all will be well. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead now and open our chorus books. And I don't know exactly what I want to go to yet, but there is a song here that kind of has been playing in the back of my mind. If I can find it. Number 155 of the chorus, Ye Shall Find Rest. Number 155 in the chorus book, Ye Shall Find Rest.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in my ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest, ye shall find rest, ye shall find rest, rest for your souls. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and he shall find rest, he shall find rest, he shall find rest, rest for your souls.
Praise God in heaven. Be dismissed unto prayer, and don't forget to just spend time in prayer, will you? Spend time before the Lord.